What's up, everybody? It's Lee. You might know me as Intuition, and you're listening to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys for tuning in again this week. I'm going to get the part that you fast forward through out of the way first. Follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, on Twitter at I Am Database. You can find us on Instagram at the same place. You can find what we do together on the content portal, kindaneat.net, rolls right off the tongue. And you can find us on Twitter at That's Kinda Neat, youtube.com/That's Kinda Neat. We're rolling along. I feel like 24 episodes soon. I think this is number 23. 24 would represent 6 months of doing this, right? 24 divided by 4. Is it 8 or 6? I don't know. It's one of those. I'm not good at math. But yeah, we're going. Things are going smooth. I want to talk about something that happened on Facebook the other day. I get a lot of demos sent to me, or like people like hitting me up and going, listen to my song. Whether it be like, yo, I just started rapping, we should collab, listen to my song. Or like, yo, you should put me on your podcast, I just started rapping, listen to my song. I hate that shit. I've always hated that shit. Now, mind you, I used to be that guy. I've been doing this for a long time and I used to do the same shit. And so what started as a tweet that was going to be like, you know, basically don't send me your demo, or like keep your music private until you're good at it, turned into me going into like a little bit of a Facebook rant. And it turned into like a 3 or 4 paragraph rant about, you know, if you're just starting music, it's smart not to like show people, because unless you're one in a million, you probably suck when you first start, particularly if you're not like a prodigious youth that is like making real music with a piano or something. If you're a kid that's just starting to rap, unless you're one in a million, you suck at first. That's just what happens. There are people that are good instantly at rapping and they're naturals and they should be heard. But you should also be smart enough to like know whether you're good or you're bad. Now, when I started rapping, I was a kid that wanted to show everybody my rap music at first. And I feel like it's come to bite me in the ass, because a lot of people have a first impression of my music that might be from music I made damn near 10 years ago or 8 years ago or whatever. Some people love that music that I made 10, 8, 7 years ago, whatever. I don't personally. I feel like I've grown a lot since then. And I feel like I wish that people didn't associate me with a record that I started writing when I was 21. And even before that, I had music that I was showing people, shitty demos and stuff. And really, it was thirsty. And so my whole rant on Facebook was kind of like, look, rather than reaching out to your favorite artists on Facebook or Twitter or whatever and saying like, yo man, you're like my inspiration, and check out this song that I did, I think you'll really like it, and then we should collab. First and foremost, that's a very like cocky thing to do. It takes a lot of balls. You might not realize that it takes a lot of balls, but you're getting ahead of yourself. You know what I mean? If you're reaching out to somebody that you say is your inspiration, you don't want to ask them to collab, because that inherently attempts to put you on the same level as somebody that you're trying to compliment. And like, rappers don't want to collab with you. Like what's the point of me collabing with you? As cocky as that sounds, it's like, what is the point? What would I benefit from that? I understand how it would benefit you, but how would it benefit me? Everybody wants to collab up, and then on the rare occasions you can collab on the same level, and those work as well. So my rant went on to hypothesize that you should keep your music on the low for a while. If you're just starting, there are the ones that can blow up instantaneously, and that's works. Get your shit out there if that's the case, but be smart enough to know that if you're still in development and you haven't found your voice yet, keep it a secret for a while. And I theorize that if you work at something, you know, like Gladwell says with the 10,000 hours and everything like that, if you work for 10,000 hours, you become a master of your craft. So why would you want to show somebody the first fucking song that you've ever made? Because you're going to suck. And then 5 years down the line, when I associate your name, I'm going to think of that song that you showed me and I'm going to write you off. And in 5 years, you might have gotten really good because you've been practicing so much, but I'm still going to think of that first stupid fucking Facebook message you sent me. So why not avoid that by keeping it a secret? Don't tell your friends, because they're going to put it on the internet, and then in 5 years, you're going to be embarrassed about your shitty song being on the internet. Live in a bubble. Fucking work on shit yourself. Get good and practice and be real enough with yourself to know when you're good enough that you should put it out. And so when I made the rant, it got a little out of control. It got like 300 likes in an hour, and it got like 50 comments, because I like kind of was self-deprecating about it. I was like, look, I put out music that I'm not that proud of when I was younger, and people still associate me with it. And in turn, everybody took it as a, oh, I hate my debut album rant. And so everybody in the comments was going, dude, you're fucking stupid. Your first album was your best album. And like, you fucking suck now. And like, don't talk shit about your old music. We love that shit. And blah, 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 blah. If my first album is your favorite album, you're fucking dumb. I got way better. And like, there are more things to rapping than lyrics. My voice back then, I my tonsils used to touch each other in the back of my throat, so I
constantly sounded like a fat kid
when I was rapping, and I hate to listen to it now. Like, when I listen to that first album, it makes, like, I get a sick feeling in my stomach. And so I just think, like, if that record is your favorite record, then, like, you need to listen to more rap music, because there's way better shit out there. I guess my point is that if you like that album, I don't think you're an idiot, but also that was not the point of my rant. The point of my rant was, be real with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Most of being able to be a musician or to be a rapper or to be a whatever is to know when what you're doing is dope and when what you're doing fucking sucks. So be strong enough in character to know when it sucks. And when it sucks, don't reach out to people about it. And that was the end of my rant. And that was the point of my rant. Now, if you are somebody that's sending me demos, don't think this is specifically about you. Because then after I made that rant, a bunch of people were like started messaging me and going, yo, man, I'm sorry if I offended you. Like, I didn't mean to. It's not about you. It's an accumulation of like a bunch of people doing that and a bunch of people that just say it in the wrong way. Like, also, you need to remember, like, to not be like forceful and bossy when you're asking somebody for a favor, when it's like, yo, I just started rapping. I made this song. We should collab. No, we shouldn't. Like, you should say, oh, I would love to collab if you ever have a chance. Like, be polite in how you say it. Like, I have a specific story about me making this mistake in the past. When I first released Stories About Nothing in like 07, I got an opportunity to open for somebody, for a rapper that I really liked. And we had just gotten the physical copies of the record. And like, I was just fucking hungry, but in hindsight, probably thirsty kid that like had all these physical CDs ready to sell. And I ended up like giving them to everyone that I recognized. And even some people that I didn't recognize at the show. I was like, oh, yo, you're so-and-so here. I just put out a record, have this record. And then, oh, hey, you're so-and-so. You're the other guy on tour with this guy. Take this record. And so the next day, this fucking guy blogged about me and said, yo, we were on tour and we stopped in this city and some fucking whack opening act named Intuition gave us fucking 5 CDs. We ended up with 5 CDs of his on the bus. And like, that makes me laugh now, but at the time I was so offended and I was like, man, fuck you. Like, da 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 da, became an internet war. I'm not going to name names because who cares? But, you know, I had some people jump to my rescue on the internet and say like, oh, you know, you're whack for calling this kid out for this and yada yada. But the point is like, in hindsight, I should have just avoided that by like not giving them my demo. And you should avoid that too. And that's the end of my rant. And if you saw the Facebook post and you thought it was negative, I'm sorry. But whatever. Today on the show, we have Chippy Nonstop. Chippy Nonstop is someone that I see around frequently at parties, and she's a really fun performer, and she's playing a show on the 19th. You can go to hamoneverything.tv to find out where the show is by RSVPing. Chippy has a really interesting story. She's lived all around the globe, pretty literally, and she was jumping around a lot. She moved out on her own by the time she was 16, and just kind of like... she's pretty much the true definition of an influencer, because people started following what she did, seemingly, in her words, for no reason at first. Like, she wasn't doing anything at first, and people started following her and paying attention to what she did. And now the scene that she's involved with is becoming very influential, all the way up to like, it trickles up to Miley Cyrus, seemingly. So I think she has an interesting story, and I think that it was a good conversation. And then she performed a song for us that you can find on YouTube. And without any further ado, let's get right into the conversation with Chippy.
Hi.
Hi, buddy.
What's up?
I'm chilling. How are you?
Amazing.
This is how we start. I'm just, oh, how are you? How's the weather?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. What brings you to Los Angeles? Because you don't reside here currently.
No, but I'm moving here.
Are you moving here?
Yeah, in September.
Oh, swag.
Yeah.
You looking for a roommate?
Brittany.
Oh, Brittany's going to be your roommate?
Yeah. but yeah, I'm here. I had a show in San Francisco, and then I have a show here on the 19th with Adam again.
Yeah.
And then I'm just recording, and I shot a music video with Kitty.
Tight.
And then I have another music video I'm shooting. So I'm just like working.
Just out here grinding.
Yeah, I kind of hate grinding, hustling words, but yeah, I guess so.
You hate the words or you hate the act?
I hate when people are like, we out here grinding in the stew, you know, like mad corny. I can't.
Yeah, super corny. And people who feel the need to say that, I feel like they often really aren't doing shit.
No, literally anyone who says they're grinding, I don't believe them.
Yeah, but here you are. You're really out here grinding.
I'm really out here grinding.
That's tight. But you currently live in New York, right?
Yeah.
How long have you lived in New York?
I've been like in and out for like the last year, but I've officially been living there for probably like 4 months.
4 months? How do you like it?
I like it a lot. I just can't handle winter, so like I'm gonna leave when the winter starts.
So you're like a snowbird?
Yeah, I just like wearing booty shorts, so I can't handle winter.
So LA is more designed for
you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
perfect.
But I can't drive in America, so I'm like scared to move here.
Why can't you drive in America?
I have like visa issues.
Okay, let's talk about that. What, like, where are you actually from? Or, like, where would you consider home? Do you have a home?
No. Like, okay, well, everyone asks me where I'm from. Like, I probably just say the Bay Area because I live there longest and I feel like I resonate with, like, that culture the most. Yeah. But,
when I met you, I thought you were, like, from the Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I lived there for, like, 5 years.
Is that the longest you've ever lived someplace?
Yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in Dubai, but my dad had a job. He worked for Lipton, the tea company, and they would transfer him to a new place every 3 years.
Mm.
I was born there, but then I moved to Africa, and then I was living in Africa, and then I was living in Toronto, which is where my passport's from, Canada.
Okay.
And then after that, I moved to San Diego. And then the Bay.
All right, so slow down. Let's try to hit all the cities. And we'll talk a little bit about all of them. You're born in Dubai. And like right now, Dubai is a catchphrase in America because there's like so much fucking...
Yeah, like that Dubai kind of money.
They are out there getting Arab money. You know what I mean? That is literally where the term came from, I think, maybe. So like Dubai is this fucking city of palaces at this point. But what was it like when you were born there?
Well, like I still go back there because my uncle and aunt live there. So I've been recently like...
So when you go out there, are you just bawling out of control?
Literally like... Well, I went there when I was 15 and you have to be 21. To go out or whatever, and like my uncle just like hired some security guard to like follow me around to like all the clubs and like talk to the bouncers to let me in and stuff. It was like really weird. But
when you were 15,
yeah,
yikes,
yeah, it was really sketchy. But yeah, like I don't know, the nightlife there is like really weird because I don't know, it's just really strange.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's like.
When you were born there, though, it was empty.
It was literally just sand, and there was like one highway and like. One like sketchy mall and like one like rec center kind of place where everyone just like kicked it.
But your folks were living there because your dad worked for Lipton. Like what was the business with Lipton out there if there was nothing in Dubai?
Well, I mean, there
was it already a burgeoning economy or something?
I mean, my dad's job was to go to like different places where it wasn't established and train them.
Oh, okay.
So like, yeah, so we got transferred to Zambia after.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was
how long were you in Dubai?
Till like I was like six.
So like you grew up your formative childhood years there.
Yeah, my childhood was in, but then I moved, like I feel like a lot of, I don't know, I don't remember that much of like growing up in Dubai.
Yeah.
But I remember a lot about Africa.
So you moved to Zambia when you're six.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Literally it was my house for like, I don't know, like for so long there was nothing and just my house and then like around it. There was just like huts and like people selling like things that they've carved or like corn or like nuts and stuff. Like there was literally nothing. And then my school was like really far away. And I don't know. But everyone that went to my school was like British people or like other people that were transferred there to do like.
Grew up like speaking English and everything.
Oh, yeah. Right? No, I spoke English my whole life.
Are your parents British?
No, they're Indian.
Yeah, they're Indian
but they're like they grew up in India.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
okay.
They moved to Dubai when we were like born. When me and my brother were born. Like, it wasn't like they were staying there for a long time.
Right, folks are still together.
Yeah.
Yeah, where do they live?
They got arranged marriage.
Was it an arranged marriage?
Yeah, they literally met one time before their wedding.
Wow.
My mom like pretty much only agreed to marry my dad because she found out that he lives outside of India and she wanted to get out.
No shit. And was it something like, have they grown to love each other over the years?
Oh yeah, they like, I've literally never seen them fight one time ever. And they like do everything together.
That's tight.
Yeah, they're like super.
I feel like maybe Indian people are onto something with arranged marriage. I feel like a lot of them work out.
I mean, really, like, if you have the same values, like, you figure it out. You know what I mean? That's how they find families. It's like they find someone with the same, like, background values, same way you grew up, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, I feel like that's the basis of what builds your character.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, oh, well.
Are they pretty progressive, though? Like, was it ever hinted, like, oh, maybe we'll make an arranged marriage for you, or no?
They're really progressive. Like, I'm, like, tatted and stuff, and they, it says I'm a flirt.com on my arm.
Yeah,
like,
what's that about?
They know that I can't get arranged. Like, that's not happening.
Right, right.
And, like, I'm very public on the internet. I'm a rapper. So, like, I don't think that's any type of family that's trying to set.
But how about the publicity that you would get if you fucking, oh, internet rapper, Chippy Nonstop to be married by arrangement?
I don't think it's worth it. I don't think the publicity's worth it to marry someone.
That would
some
be
random.
All over Worldstar, dog.
Oh, my God. I've actually been on Worldstar, though.
Tight. For what?
My song with Andy Milonakis.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah,
called
yeah.
Party With Your Pussy
Party
Out.
With Your Pussy Out. I just watched that the other day. I was trying to prepare for this, and I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, I forgot that she did this song with Andy.
And then I did a song with Steinemann.
Yeah.
Called Use a Chote. It was the first song I ever, like...
Use a what?
Chote. It means bitch in Hindi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. You're incorporating your fucking culture, you know what I'm saying, into the hip-hop world.
My mom was like, oh, my God. I hate this.
So you're in Zambia, and you're living in a house, but everybody else lives in huts?
Well, there was houses, but, like, everything was just, like, so spread out. They had to, like, build the house for us to move in.
Right, right.
So, yeah, like, everyone had, like, custom houses that lived there, pretty
much. You went to school with a bunch of British kids, though?
Yeah, like, some British kids. There was a lot of Indian people there for some reason also.
Yeah.
But they're all, like, British Indian.
Like, Indians with British accents. But your parents have, like, the full-on Indian accent when they speak English. Did you grow up with any kind of accent?
No, I didn't really have an accent.
Yeah. Like, you just sounded American or what?
I think I just sounded American. I don't know. I can't even remember.
You just grew up watching too much MTV or what?
Yeah, I guess so. Ninja Turtles.
So what was school like in Zambia?
It was cool. It was weird. It was, like, the whole school was, like, outdoors.
Uniforms? Did you have to wear uniforms?
Yeah, I wore this, like, hideous uniform. Yeah. Wait, this is the funniest part. My school was called Simba School. Like, no joke. How is that, like, a thing, like, in Africa, and it's literally called Simba School?
Was that, like, on the nose? Like, did they name it after Simba, or was it just coincidence?
I don't even fucking know, but, like, the logo was, like, literally Simba.
Really? Like the Disney character?
I mean, it didn't look exactly like him, but it was, like, very similar. It was, like, on our uniform, and the uniform was so ugly. It was, like, a short dress that was checkered orange and white.
Wow.
Like... so hideous.
I mean, you're pretty fashion forward at this point. Like, you definitely have a defined style.
Yeah. Well, my mom is, like, really into, like, she was used to be really into fashion. Yeah. She was a dance teacher and aerobics instructor.
Swag.
And yeah, she was, like, sponsored by, like, Nike and stuff.
Nice.
She was, like, in Dubai. She was, like, on top of, like, magazines and stuff for
So mom's foxy.
Yeah. She used to be really, I mean, she's still, like, young looking.
With the school uniform stuff, were you, like, fresh printing it out? Or, like, did you start modifying your uniform?
No, well, when I was in Canada, I also had a uniform. So I used to, like, get my skirts, like, hemmed and, like, bedazzle them and stuff. But not when I was in, like, elementary school, because they were really strict in Africa. Like, they would literally, like, hit you with rulers and stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did you get hit with a ruler?
Were you
a well-behaved kid?
I was really well-behaved until high school. Yeah.
Good grades and stuff?
I got good grades all, like, even in high school.
Even when you were rebelling?
Yeah, I was just a stoner.
Yeah, yeah.
In high school, though.
I want to keep talking about Africa a little bit. I find that so interesting because I'm sure...
It was weird.
When you're growing up there, you probably don't realize how unique that is.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize, like... But, like, for some... It was kind of like I wasn't living in Africa, but I was.
Right.
Because, like, all the things, like... I wouldn't, like, really be, like, culturally, like, associated with, like, people that actually live there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like... Now that if I go there, I would want to be, like, way more involved with the culture.
Yeah.
But then I was just, like, so, like, oh, I'm living my life and everyone else around is living their life.
Is it just, like, Saharan plains everywhere? Is it, like, all, like, what's the agriculture?
I mean, it's, like, Zambia is, like, really green.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not really, like, deserty. It's very green. It used to be, like, a gold mining town.
Yeah, yeah.
Then British came and stole everything, so it's like really poor. It was really poor when I was there.
White people are fucked up.
Yeah, there was literally one grocery store, and then also like one like like nightclub thing, which was also the only restaurant, which was also like the place where people go to like work out and like where all people play like basketball, and there was like a park there that was like, it was like everything in one. It was pretty much the only thing people would ever do.
And like, you know, of course, being a white dude in America and I think of Africa, I'm like, oh, were there like giraffes and shit running around?
Wait, actually, like literally there are wild animals like everywhere.
Really?
Like,
like what would you see?
Buffaloes. Yeah. And like, yeah, there's like a lot of like goats and buffaloes.
Yeah.
And same with India. Like when I go to India, I literally am like terrified walking down the street because like a goat will just be like coming towards me. I'll be like, fuck, like I can't.
So you're scared of goats?
I'm scared of every animal.
Really?
Literally even a goldfish.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. I was attacked by my dog in Africa one time.
What kind of dog was it?
It was a Rottweiler pit bull.
Ooh, that's a scary dog to be attacked by.
It was a guard dog.
Yeah, yeah. That seems frightening. That would scare you.
You know what's weird? Like, I would treat it like it was like my pet, but it was like a guard dog.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like it would attack anyone that would like come.
Wow.
That, uninvited.
But you guys just got attacked that once and you learned your lesson.
Huh? And I had like, all growing up, I had like this nanny that like grew up with us, or like she like came with us to everywhere.
Yeah.
And she bit, or my dog bit like a chunk out of her arm.
Jesus Christ.
And like she was like, I don't know, like someone that was like kind of like a mother figure, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like scarred by all of that.
How long was she with you guys?
Since before, like my brother's 6 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So she came when my brother was born till we left, because she couldn't get a visa to come to Canada.
Okay.
So just till I was
She was from India as well?
She was from India, yeah.
So just one older brother?
Yeah.
6 years of difference, like, you know, that's a big difference.
Yeah, we're not close until probably like 2 years ago. We're actually working on an app together and it comes out like next month. It's a twerking app.
A twerking app?
Yeah.
We'll get back to that. We will go there in a while.
Okay.
So were your parents disengaged? Like, was the nanny more of a mother figure?
It wasn't that, like, I don't know. I feel like all in Dubai, like, and like, really, like, all Indian families have, for some reason, have, like, a live-in nanny.
Yeah.
But, like, she was, I don't know, my mom was always around, though. It wasn't, like, that, but...
I heard an interview with an Indian comedian one time, and he was talking about, like, he grew up with a nanny, but, like, she had to sleep in nanny quarter, like, on the floor, basically, and, like, she couldn't be part of the dinner table and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, well, she wasn't, like, my parents are way more, like, chill about shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, she had, like, a lavish life, like, she was chill.
Do you still keep in contact with her?
No, not at all. I don't even know where in the world she is, and I think she mightn't, I don't know if she's still alive. She was really old.
Oh.
She was like, because I feel like they do that like so they have like, you know, somewhere to live.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really even opportunity. I don't know. There's somewhere to live for free, kind of.
Right.
Like, we wouldn't pay her like a lot or anything. But
was it heartbroken when you guys had to separate, or was it heartbreaking when you had to separate?
Yeah, well, like, I kind of, like, it was, like, a love-hate relationship, so I was, like, happy because she would, like, make me do things that I didn't want to do and stuff, so, like, but it's not your mom, so you can treat her, like, kind of shitty.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was, like, kind of happy, but then once, like, she actually, like, left, it was, like, sad.
Once it sunk in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But bummer. It was weird. But I don't really, like, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I don't remember that much of her.
So what age were you when you moved from Zambia to Canada?
I was 9.
And then you moved to Toronto?
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the New York
but
of Canada.
It was like a suburb. It was like it wasn't like the city. It was called Oakville. It was like a suburb.
Shout out to Oakville.
Yeah, but it was literally only like...
Putting Oakville on the map.
Yeah. I mean, actually there's a like pop star from there that I met recently. And she's Indian too.
Swag.
Yeah, it's really random.
Do you have a big fan base in India?
Okay, wait, I keep getting like all these like really fucking weird Facebook messages of people speaking in Tamil, which is not my dialect, Indian.
What is your dialect?
Hindi.
Okay.
Yeah.
You speak fluently?
Yeah, but I would rather not. Like, it's not my like first thought.
Yeah.
So I would rather speak in English.
So we can't do the rest of the podcast in... No,
I mean...
I'm kidding.
We could, but that would be like... 1%. I doubt anyone that listens to this podcast speaks Hindi.
I kind of doubt that as well. I certainly don't, so it would make no sense to me either. But so you moved to Toronto, and is that where you start like hating the winters or what?
Yeah, it was terrible. Like literally,
that has to be
so
a big
bad.
Juxtaposition to go from like sunny Zambia and Dubai to like fucking dreary
Well, also
Toronto.
Fucking like I was sent there like a few months ago because my visa expired. And it was winter time, and literally I was there for 4 weeks. I went outside maybe 3 times.
Really? How does that work with the visa stuff? Like, it seems like a process.
Well, I was on a certain visa, and then that one expired, and then they wouldn't let me renew it. So I just came back and said I was visiting.
And then you just stayed.
So now I'm visiting.
Oh, you're visiting.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, Le Migre, if you're listening, this is all just allegedly, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm allowed to like be traveling around America, so it's like not...
You just can't get like a residency.
Yeah.
I mean, are you ever going to be able to get dual citizenship, you think?
Well, I'm just hoping that I get like some kind of like publishing thing that the company can sponsor me or something.
Mm, right, right, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Is it scary living on the lam right now?
I kind of don't think about it.
Yeah.
But
the folks are still in Canada?
No, they live in California. They have visas though.
Oh.
But you're 20,
why can't they sponsor you?
I turned 21, so after that
you're on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I got kicked out because I turned 21.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's crazy. So, like, what does it take to have, like, what are the qualifications to get a
I
visa?
Honestly have like no idea, but like I have no idea. Like, you either have to be sponsored by a work, and it has to be, like, a creative outlet that no one else can do the job or something like that.
And that's where Chippy Nonstop comes in.
Yeah, so hopefully that happens.
Nice. So what's Toronto like as a kid? That's where you go to high school and stuff?
No, I was homeschooled in San Diego. Like, I went to school for, like, I went to high school for, like, 2 years, but then I was, like, over it, and then I graduated when I was 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're pretty bright.
I mean, homeschool is just like way accelerated.
Okay.
It's not like...
Yeah. Why did you decide to homeschool?
I was kind of just like a loner stoner.
Mm. What age did drugs come into the picture? Or not drugs, but weed.
Like 15.
Yeah. Where were you?
I was in California.
So you moved to California. Parents still working for Lipton? That's why?
No, my dad quit.
Oh.
He quit when we moved to Canada.
Okay. What was he doing out there?
He has this company called Expense Reduction Analysts, and they like go to companies and see like where they're spending excessively and like reduces all costs. Like he like works with like FedEx and like things like that.
Shout out to Expense Reduction
Analysts.
You know, yeah. This episode brought to you by sponsor.
I feel like I'm like saying a bunch of things that are going to sponsor you from things.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope that we get sponsored by the country
to
of Dubai.
Gatorade.
Yeah.
All things that I want to be sponsored by.
Yo, vitamin water. We see you. What's up? No. But so dad starts his own business and you guys end up in California and you're on your visa and everything. So
my dad's like obsessed with like golf. So he wanted to move to San Diego.
San Diego.
Randomly.
Yeah. What did you think? What did you think of San Diego?
I hate it.
You don't seem like you'd
like
San Diego.
That's why I literally wanted to leave. I moved to San Francisco when I was 16.
San Diego seems kind of like broed out, maybe.
I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not like a person that likes to like lurk on the beach or whatever.
When did the internet become a big part of your life?
Oh, I've been on the internet.
Okay. Like, when did you...
I was a MySpace person.
Uh-huh.
I'm like that person that like has too much shit on their MySpace that you're like, wow, you
the
need
page
to...
crashed.
Yeah, like crashes. You need to unglitterize your page right now because it's mad like hyphy.
I mean, what? MySpace must have started when you were like 12 or something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, I had Zanga. I had everything.
You're just already out here.
Oh,
on
the internet. I like literally a bit. I was like on AOL chat, like talking to randoms.
Yeah.
I used to like go on this like dumb game on Shockwave called Ink Link.
Uh huh.
But like it was like a game where you're supposed to like draw like the thing that you're. Or and like people, it's like, what's that game? You draw what you want.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah. I know
people guess
about.
What it is, right, whatever. Right, right. But I like didn't even play the game. I just chatted with everyone that was playing the game.
Now, do you think that you like disengaged from real life and just sucked yourself into the internet or what?
Oh,
Like, did you have real friends when you moved to San Diego?
I had like 2 friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what would you guys do in real life?
Beyond the internet.
Beyond the internet.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't really, like, very social in high school, like, because I just moved to California and I was already living, like, such a weird life, and I was, like, kind of like a weirdo kid, you know?
And did you kind of feel like maybe you're just going to end up moving again anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah, I was, like, really into leaving as soon as possible and being by myself, like, without my family and, like, being independent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why I, like, just did the accelerated program, and I was like, I'm going to move to San Francisco.
What was it that appealed to you about the internet at a young age?
Well, I just like talking to strangers and being like weird. I don't know. I guess it's like a fantasy world. When at that time, like at that time, I was like faking to be like random people and like saying dumb shit and just trolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really like doing graphics and like stuff. So I like making my pages and stuff. That sounds so dumb.
Who are some of the characters that you would be online? Like, did you ever tell people that you were like celebrities and shit?
Like, I would like fuck with them, like play like, wait, what's like cyber with them, and then like, and then at the end being like, oh, I'm really 12, so I'm gonna like tie you up to a chair and then call the police and get you arrested. it was so dumb.
How would people react to that?
They're like, I don't know, upset, but they don't care.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. They're like, they're like
on to the next cyber bitch.
They're like, oh, I already came. It doesn't matter.
Literally.
That's gross. That's too funny.
I was like really bad at cybering though. Like I would like just copy and paste shit from like other cybers that I saw online.
That's too funny. But you didn't get into like sending pictures and stuff, right?
Oh no, I wasn't like slutty on the internet. I was just like, I wasn't a slut on the internet.
Tight.
For sure.
So like, how did you like find a break from the internet long enough to start getting into weed and shit?
Oh, I would just sit and smoke weed and be on the internet.
What was your first experience with weed?
My friend, one of my only friends, he was like a weed dealer when I was like 15.
How old was he?
Like 15.
Yeah.
Like what?
But was he a friend that was really trying to, he was in love with you secretly?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
He, like, recently messaged me and he was like, oh, I heard you're a rapper now.
Yeah.
And, like, now he's, like, lingering me, but I'm not down anymore.
He's like, I heard you're a rapper now. I'm the biggest weed dealer in California. What's up?
No. Like, he like, literally straight edge now.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't talk to him anymore.
Paths go different ways, you know?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people that, like, do a lot of drugs just become straight edge, like, after a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really keep in touch with anyone from, like, any other part of my life, I feel like.
Just the internet.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier in the car, and, like, you and Brittany were both saying that basically you could turn off your text and phone services, and so long as you have unlimited internet, you'd be straight.
Chilling.
Yeah. Are you ever off your phone?
Well, okay, I had my internet off my phone for 3 weeks because when I went to Canada, I, like, overused my data, and I wasn't supposed to because it's, like, overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And they switched off my 3G, like, my 4G connection,
yeah,
like, completely.
You better say 4G. We balling it. We balling it here.
I always say 3G, but I meant 4G.
We don't fuck with that 3G shit.
They switched it off completely, so I didn't have it for, like, 2 months, and I was, like, going insane.
Really?
But I'm back to sanity now.
Because you're back on the internet.
I'm back on the internet.
Yeah, so when did you move to the Bay and stay there for 5 years?
When I was 16.
When you were 16. Oh, yeah, so you moved there by yourself.
Yeah.
That's scary to me. Like, what did you do as a 16-year-old in the Bay by yourself? Like, how did you decide that? Where did you stay?
Well, I, like, was writing. I wanted to write about music, but I wasn't making any. And then, and fashion. I wanted to write about fashion. And
what inspired you to just want to write about music?
I'm just like, well, when I'm on the internet, I'm like, you know, lurking music. I was like a huge, like, music lurk. Like, I would
What kind of music was it at that age?
It was rap and pop.
How did you find out about rap in all the, like, weird places that you live?
I mean, everywhere you live, they listen to rap.
But fools in Africa were still listening to, like, Snow. They're like, Informa.
Well, not Snow.
What were they listening to?
Well, like, just, like, mainstream rap.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I like Spice Girls and, like, shit like that.
Were Spice Girls? I feel like Spice Girls are a big influence on you still.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah?
No. I was, like, a gigantic Spice Girls fan. Like, I would dress up like them and, like,
which one was
put
your
on,
favorite?
Like, little skits. Well, I liked Baby, but I knew that I couldn't be Baby because I'm brown.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd always have to be, like, scary.
You have to be scary.
But I was like, why do I have to be scary? Like, my friends would always, we, like, do little skits and, like, be you know, Spice Girls. Yeah. And I'd always be scary. I'd be like, I want to be baby.
And that was your first experience with racial inequality?
Or yeah, exactly. I'm like, damn racist white people.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I can put my hair in pigtails and just be baby. They're like, you're brown.
That's too funny. So you're already into rap as a youngster then.
Yeah, what kind of rap? My brother was a lot older than me. So like he used to like play a lot of like Eminem and like, and I'd be like, dancing to that, but like not even knowing, like I was young when, and like a bunch of just like mainstream rap, like,
yeah.
I still honestly, like, everyone thinks that I listen to like super like underground shit, and I'm like, no, I literally listen to Miley Cyrus.
Miley's she's really going through a renaissance phase right you know.
I feel like she kind of stole my personal brand. Just saying.
I would agree. I feel like she lurks all of you guys and kind of like,
I feel like I was twerking on stage for Juicy J way before. And she stole my stole my slag.
You hear that, Miley? we have beef with you.
I honestly am like the biggest Miley Cyrus fan. That's like the only song I listen to, the We Can't Stop one.
Yeah. Have you seen that GIF? I'm sure you have, the GIF of like, or it was like a Vine that did really well. It was like, this is what Miley's actually saying in the video. And it's like,
yeah.
She's like, that shit is hilarious.
I heard she's addicted to Molly. Like, actually. Really? I don't know how you get addicted to Molly, but she is.
Huh. That's
it was like on top. It was like,
it's very on trend.
It was like on all the tabloids.
Back in the first rave generation, yeah. in the late 90s.
Wait, were you part of the rave generation?
No, I wasn't a raver, but I mean, I saw it. I was there. I was there when.
Have you been had listening only to rap music?
No. I listened to all kinds of. I barely listened to any rap music.
Wait,
to be honest.
What do you listen to?
currently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Selena Gomez.
No, not Selena. I mean, actually, the last like, I don't even know what the last. I guess the last record I really got into is like,
in the car.
Yeah, I have that on random. Like my iPod stays on random pretty much. So the Waves record was good. The last James Blake record was really good. I'm looking forward to like the King Cruel album, shit like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, this isn't about me. Don't try to flip my shit.
Wait, the interviewer becomes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get uncomfortable talking about myself. So.
I think you're down.
I like to be mysterious.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No.
I don't believe you.
Stop. Okay, so the first rave generation, right? Yeah. Back in the 90s, like I was around that. I was doing drugs at the time, but I wasn't doing ecstasy. But ecstasy was like a huge thing in the late 90s and the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like around 97, 98, it reached Alaska and got really big.
Yeah.
But I remember reading articles even back then of like people that were doing too much of it, and they would like run out of, you know, the hormones that make you happy, dopamine or whatever. Yeah. Like you would go through like lack of dopamine, and you just literally couldn't be happy anymore unless you were on ecstasy, because their receptors or whatever got all fucking crisscrossed. So maybe that's what's happening to Miley.
Well, like in that video, she's literally on a bed, like rolling, like feeling herself up and stuff. I'm like, this is sus.
How many people on Twitter call themselves Molly Cyrus, huh? Is that a popular Twitter handle?
Is it?
I don't know. If not, you should. I feel like you should call yourself Molly Cyrus.
I mean, yeah.
It's pretty swag.
I'm down with that name, but I'd rather like a lingerer have it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't want to be like that associated with it.
I got you. So yeah, Miley's jocking your stees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like right now the kind of subculture that
I literally made a EP called Global School of Twerk 2 years ago.
And what did she say something about Global School of Twerk?
No, I'm just saying like she's all about twerking, and I made a twerking thing 2 years ago.
Do you feel like twerking is jumping the shark?
I honestly am like just beyond. I've been had like over twerking.
Yeah.
But like it's just fun to dance like that.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm sick of people talking about it, but I'm still gonna like get money off of it.
Yeah. It seems like this strange co-opting of culture by white girls. Like,
yeah, well, I was watching...
It's weird to see something that's been around for so long be taken on in an ironic form or something.
Yeah, it was so weird. I was watching or listening to Hot 97 and... Yeah. Was it Peter Rosenberg?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
He was talking about how, like, if a black girl, like, is, like, twerking, you're like, oh, shit, that's gross. Like, she's being a slut. But if, like, a white girl's doing it, it's, like, ironic and cute.
Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my God, look at the white girl trying to shake her butt. Like, that's so adorable.
Right. And a lot of these white girls are really just shaking bones.
Yeah, I'm like, Miley has no booty.
Yeah, there's no...
But she's good at twerking. She can shake it.
Yeah, her hips don't lie.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much hips involved in twerking, but...
Okay.
Or zero.
My bad. I've not tried the technique.
It's all in the back and booty. Yeah. And arch your back and bend your knees.
All right. Now I know. Now I
Wait, that's the song. Archibald Bendis.
Is that a song, or did you just come with a hook?
I just made that up.
That's
right
the
now.
the new hit single from Chippy Nonstop, Archibald and Bendis.
Get it on iTunes.
Bang. So you're a kid, and you move to the Bay. You move up there to be a music journalist because you liked mainstream rap music.
Well, I just wanted to write about music and be around like that scene.
Yeah, yeah. You're 21, so when you were 16, this is, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because like, that's like your formative years, and so like when you talk about like mainstream rap from 5 years ago being like the old, like that's your old school kind of.
Yeah, literally.
Like, dude, that is like, I was already such a grown up.
I think 2 years ago is old school.
Right, right. So like, besides Eminem, like just drop some names of that were like influential on you 5 years ago.
Like literally like Nelly and like T.I.
Were you too young for Ja Rule? Did you?
Oh no, I fucked with Ja Rule. Yeah. I was a huge Ja Rule fan. I remember like sitting like in Canada, like, we had a basement, and I would just, like, sit, like, downstairs listening to Ja Rule and J-Lo, like, on
I feel like people forget that in the annals of history, there was, like, a fucking summer of Ja Rule.
Oh, there was,
He was on every fucking hit record. He was, like, the Lil Wayne of that summer, or, like, currently the 2 Chainz of that summer.
Yeah,
maybe. He was, like, on everything.
I really fuck with Ja Rule. I wish he could have a comeback.
Yeah. There'll be some nostalgia tour soon.
But then, like, I say that now, but then I'm thinking of Nelly's comeback, and I'm like, nah.
You weren't down with Drop Down and Get Your Eagle On?
No, his comeback when he, like 2 months ago when he came out with, like, Portia.
Oh, I didn't know that he was even trying.
Oh, my God, stop. Like, he literally came out with a song called Portia that's, like, a weird-ass country song about... Yeah, it's so fucking weird.
Huh, no shit.
It's terrible.
So did you get any writing jobs when you moved to the Bay?
Yeah, I was interning at this magazine called Soma. And then I got a job at San Francisco Bay Guardian, and I like wrote about.
Did they know you were 16?
No, and I couldn't get into any of the events. I said I was 18.
Yeah.
And like I couldn't get into like any of the events of anything ever happening. So like I got a fake ID because I had to write about like.
How old did your fake ID say you were?
21.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually got a job, and I got to go on part of the Pactiv, Asher Roth, Kid Cudi, B.O.B. tour.
How long were you on the road for that?
Like 2 weeks or something.
For the Bay Area Guardian?
Yeah, San Francisco.
Did any of the guys on the tour bus know that you were 16?
Well, I had already known Pactiv, like, before.
How?
The
internet?
No, just, like, my friend was, like, kind of, like, talking to one of them, but she was older than me. She was, like... 2 years older than me.
But they were all aware that you're underage, right?
I don't know.
Don't put anybody on blast.
I don't know if they do, but I know them now.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you were so young then. Because, like, how are you 21 now?
Yeah, yeah. Because you still look young for 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I would imagine, like, 5 years ago, you probably pretty much looked the same.
No. Like, I mean, I wasn't tatted.
Mm.
Like, and I wasn't. Because
that was illegal.
Yeah.
Because you were too young.
Well, I got this one. I got this, my biggest one, when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but, yeah, they didn't know. But, like, now, like, when I talk to them, they're like, what the fuck? You must have been so young if you're only now just 21.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they just, like, even asked me or anything.
Yeah.
It was, like, I wasn't, like, that, like, involved in, like, talking to them, you know?
And that was, like, when Asher's big hit came out, or what? Was he the headliner?
No. I'm pretty sure Kid Cudi was the headliner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And B.O.B. might have...
That's
been second headliner.
That's crazy that you were like so young, because like B.O.B. is so new.
Yeah.
Like in my world, that fool feels like a new artist.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, I think I was 17 when I got that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like 17.
So what was that experience like? That's your first time being on the road, like with touring acts? Because I feel like you've been on the road now, for a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on. Okay, this is really, really weird. Like, after like I left the Bay for like 6 months because I started a website with these kids. They went by Tsutari Trap House, and I think they still live here, but I don't talk to them. We like had a falling out, but we got hired to work for MIA, and we left San Francisco. This is when I was like 18 and moved to LA for like 6 months, and but we got like fired from MIA or whatever, we only worked there for like 2 weeks, and then this random group called the Nux.
Oh yeah, I know who.
Yeah, they like hit me up just randomly because I had like a weird Twitter, like I was a part of weird Twitter, and I had like a crazy like online presence, but like I wasn't doing anything. I was just like making graphics and like writing still. And they like hit me up to go on tour with them, and I'm like, I don't do anything.
You're like, I don't do anything.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, just like,
just come and tweet.
No, they were literally like, come and perform, like be the opening act. And I was like,
but you didn't rap at that point?
No, but then I was like, all right. And so like I wrote 6 songs just for the tour and went on tour with them and performed like this. It was like a month and a half tour. We like went to like across America and I was the opening act, but I never had made music.
That's crazy. Like were the Nux and it was close just, followers of yours on Twitter? Like did I you guys have no, any communication
no,
with them?
No, no. Like I didn't even know them. Wow. Like I never even met them.
And when you were on the tour bus with them, did you ask them like, how did this happen? Like
they just like hit, they just were like, you're funny on Twitter and like, we want you to go on tour with us. And I literally had not made one track.
Wow. So who produced the first thing?
It was like, oh, I just rapped over like random like EDM beats and like Mumbatone beats. Mm-hmm. It was like Mudchi and like I rapped over like some Major Lazer beat. Like it was just like all like EDM shit. Cause I was, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I was 18.
So like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you discover that like, oh wow, I like making music?
Well, I was like, I feel like I would be like, while I was in LA, I would go out a lot and like I would like steal the mic and just like MC over like dumb shit and just say dumb stuff. Like I wasn't rapping. I was just like would yell like turn up shit. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And I think they might have seen me at something like that. And I like got yeah, the well, audience like hype.
I've told you this before. I think when I first met you, we met at the
main
Echo Plex.
Main
attractions. And you came up to me and Adam was like, oh, yeah, this is Chippy Nonstop. And you just started freestyling at me.
Okay, yeah.
You just started freestyling. And I was
I
like,
have no recollection.
Yeah, of course.
That.
Yeah, you were faded that night. You were really out there, it turns up. But yeah, that's funny. So you would just steal the mic at events and go
yeah, and just
do
like,
your thing.
Yeah, and I think they might have seen me at that. And like people would always tweet at me like, oh my God, like I saw you at this or whatever and like turning up. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't realize that I'm doing shit like that. But like, I guess like it was like a crazy like stage presence energy, and I'd always like I danced my whole life because my mom's a dance teacher, so like I like being on stage.
Right.
So yeah, I guess like that's how I made the transition of like making music. From,
yeah. Were yeah. you like an attention seeker as a child, yeah. being that you were like kind of lonely? You're basically oh, yeah. an only child when you're. Yeah. I feel like when your sibling yeah. is a certain amount of years older than you, you're basically.
I wasn't
an older
really an attention seeker like on my parents.
Yeah.
But like yeah.
Class clown.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would do dumb shit. Like, in Canada, there was this... I don't even know. This isn't even funny anymore. But, like, I would, like, go up... Like, in the middle of class, I would, like, lie down on my chair and do, like, the Superman, like, position.
Yeah.
Like, lie on my stomach, like, in the middle of, like, a history class.
Yeah.
And the teacher would be like, what are you doing? And I'd, like, get kicked out and, like, sent to the principal's office and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah... I was a class clown in one of my classes, but I was also like serious about school. So it was like weird. So like I wouldn't want to get kicked out of certain classes, but right. some of the ones where the teachers sucked, I would just fuck with the
and,
teachers.
And
when
yeah. I mean, I can relate to that. I felt like I was more of a class clown in classes that I didn't have respect for the teacher or where I thought I was smarter than the teacher.
Oh yeah. No, I always thought I was smarter than the teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was that asshole.
I would often fall asleep. I would often fall asleep in classes that had bad teachers and then teach myself the lesson when I got home, you know, from the book. And then sometimes I would like be able to go in the next day and everybody would have like a certain answer wrong. And it was because the teacher taught them the wrong way to do it. And I would be able to explain it to them. That used to stoke me out.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was, I made it about myself again.
Yeah. It's all about you.
You got me breaking character here. I don't know what's wrong with me. So yeah, you know, you're a class clown, you're seeking attention. Yeah. Like, you know, are you
I'm
close?
I'm definitely an attention whore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, was it because the parents were always busy or what?
I don't know if it's that deep.
It has to be deep. There's issues here.
I don't think
I
it's
told
that
you, I'm gonna try to make you cry.
I'm crying right now.
No, you're not.
I'm bawling. No, I honestly don't think it's that deep. I just like being on stage.
Yeah. Did you start seeking attention from boys at a young age?
No, I'm not. I wasn't really. I'm not really like that. Like, even now.
I'm not trying to accuse you of being like
no,
that.
No, yeah, but I wasn't really like down for guys. Like, yeah. I was just like, I was more down for myself.
Yeah. Have you ever, but have you ever been in love?
No.
No?
I had one boyfriend and he robbed me.
He robbed? Like, can you tell that story? That sounds funny.
He literally robbed me.
Like, your house or what?
Yeah, he stole all my shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I was actually just dating a girl whose, like, boyfriend robbed her. It's not good when that happens.
His name, well, I don't think.
What's his name?
Well, he went by Lil Jon, but it's not like the Lil Jon.
Oh my God.
It's not that like
Lil Jon. What are you doing?
Wait, Lil Jon robbed me. No.
Jeez.
Yeah, but he went by Lil Jon. Wait, this is sus.
We'll edit out Lil Jon.
No, it's fine.
No, we'll edit out Lil Jon.
Wait, can we send him to jail through this podcast?
Maybe. Authorities, if you're listening and you know someone who goes by the pseudonym of Lil Jon, not the one in Vegas. You know,
no,
pick him
kidding.
Up. Yeah. So you had a bad experience with the first boyfriend. How long were you guys together before he robbed you?
7 months.
Well, that's not even long either.
Oh, that's really long for me. I've never had any other relationship.
Why? You got like some trust issues?
Yeah, of course.
Why do you have trust issues?
Because my only boyfriend robbed me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, yeah, that's so weird. Like, I always forget like that.
And like, also like now I feel like it's really weird because I don't know. I'm in that like weird point where like, I don't want them to know me, but I want on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I don't want them to not like understand my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I'm like, oh, and then I don't want them to be like, oh, I know everything about you off Twitter on the internet.
Right. It's like,
you know what I mean?
Once you're like, somewhat in the public eye, it's this weird thing where you want to be real and you want to expose yourself on the internet, but it's also in a controlled way. So it's like you have the illusion of being very open, but it's kind of walled off at the same time.
No, I mean a lot of my internet persona is like jokes,
right,
you know, I'm not like out here spilling my like heart on Twitter, like no, but like
if you did, I would read more. I'm just
kidding. awkward.
Sus.
Pause.
Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, like I don't want to. I feel like I can't be in a relationship because I don't want to be with someone that like knows too much about me,
right.
Or like some weird like part of me,
right.
And then I don't want someone that doesn't get my life at all.
Yeah.
So it's like
you get male groupies.
Oh yeah.
Really? Is it bad?
I have a really like sub creepy ass people that because I feel like I have really big boobs and that attracts like a weird type
like me. I'm very weird. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I literally like I can't like I even if I'm wearing a baggy t-shirt on Instagram and I post a picture, like all the comments are about my boobs.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when I post a video, everybody just is like, oh, look, it's the white common. So it's like the same thing because I'm bald and have a beard. But you know,
you like spit that knowledge.
So much knowledge. I drop so much knowledge. No. So after the Nux tour, you get a taste of the road. And did you like really like it?
Oh, yeah. I was obsessed. Like,
and so what happens after that? Do you like dedicate yourself a little more to music?
Okay. What happened was Paul Devereaux from Mad Decent like saw me on stage also and was like, why don't you just like try to make your own music,
right?
And I was like, yeah, I'm down, like actually record. And then I went to the Mad Decent studio and I recorded a bunch of shit with Paul, like stuff that he produced,
right?
But nothing ever happened of it, like I don't know where it is now. And
then you met Andy like through the Mad Decent guys or what?
I had talked to Andy before on the internet. I was like friends with random people on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're part of weird Twitter.
Yeah. Exactly.
Shout out to Andy Milonakis. Good guy. I've done a podcast with him in the past.
No, he's like, I was just telling someone the other day that he's like the most like humble dude.
Very down to earth.
Like so humble, but like he like lives like a classy ass life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man. He's
like classy as fuck and you would never know.
Super nice guy. And he's so real about celebrity. Do you know what I mean? Like he'll fucking call people out for being assholes and celebrities, and like he just keeps it so real. I'm very down.
No, I like him a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you guys meet? Just because of weird Twitter.
Yeah, and then like, well, it wasn't even weird Twitter. I would just tweet at him like all the time, like being thirsty.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I like loved his show.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like obsessed with him. I thought he was like the funniest person ever.
I follow him on Twitter, and he retweets some of the like funniest, like, these girls look so normal, but they tweet him the most vulgar shit.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
So weird.
It's crazy.
There's so many like closet hoes on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm one of them.
Same.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not.
not closeted.
So when does Andy hit you up and be like, let's do a song?
No, well, what happened was like I was begging him to do a song, and then I told Paul, I was like, I really want to do a song with Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And he never
said. Was this like after he did the song with Lil B and stuff?
Yeah, it was after that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never set it up. Paul never set it up.
Yeah.
And then I was at like Mustache Mondays or something.
Yeah.
And I saw, or I forgot who I was even with, yeah. but like I was with some people and they were like, oh, we're going to Andy's. And I was like, wait, I'm going to come.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Andy, let's like go to the studio. When I got there, I was just being thirsty as fuck. And then he was like, yeah, no, I'm down. Like,
yeah.
And then we went to the studio. We made like a series, like an actual rapping song together.
Yeah.
And like, we didn't put it out. And
were you dropping knowledge?
No, not real knowledge. It wasn't like actually serious, but like yeah. it was like actually rapping. Like it wasn't like
right,
party
right.
with your pussy out over and over again.
Right.
But we like scrapped that totally and just went in the studio and started screaming like random words, and then Party with Your Pussy Out came out.
Yeah. And what was yeah. the reaction when that video dropped? Was that kind of your like big introduction to the world?
Well, I did use a chope before that.
Right.
Which is what like it was posted on like big blogs that it was on Worldstar.
Okay.
So I guess I had that first.
That was the first big break.
It was the first thing I did. And then
what was the feeling like when it was like getting posted everywhere? Were you like, oh, the internet is now mine?
No, I was just like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I was trying to be an artist at that point.
Right.
Or like until like probably like last year, I don't think I was trying to be an artist.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good when you...
I was just like fucking around.
When you just fall into things, it's like good things happen, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to make a song with Andy because I like loved Andy. It wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to get this like publicity off this Andy Milonakis song.
Right,
like,
right.
It wasn't like that.
Right.
It was more like, oh my God, like it's like on my bucket list kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, I still wasn't like thirsting to be an artist. Like probably like until last year, I didn't take anything seriously.
What made you start taking it serious?
Well, I toured on a big tour with Krayshawn and Honey Cocaine.
Were you guys friends when you lived up in the Bay? You and Krayshawn?
Actually, no. Like Diplo introduced us, and like I talked to her obviously on the internet.
Yeah.
Like before that, and I knew her from the Bay. Like I'd see her around, but we weren't like homies.
Right.
Everyone thinks that we're like childhood homies or something.
Well, yeah, you guys seem like kindred spirits on the surface or something.
Yeah, we're like, I just feel like we have a lot in common, and we're both like pretty similar, except I'm crazier.
Uh-huh.
She's pretty chill.
Yeah, she's very down to earth character.
Yeah, like and her. She like doesn't like really like turn up or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she like when we're like chilling, like we have like a lot in common, so
a good rapport, so it worked out to be on tour with her.
Yeah.
When did you start turning up?
Well, very early. Yeah, like when I was like when I moved to the
When you went to back to Dubai and when you're 15.
When I was came out of the womb, I came out turned up.
That's funny. Yeah, but I mean, like, when did club culture become a big part of your life?
Well, when actually, like, the Bay, like, club culture isn't really a thing. It's, like, more just, like, house parties and, like, getting really fucked up.
Yeah.
So I'd throw a lot of house parties at my apartment.
Yeah.
And then just go to a bunch of house parties.
When did wandering off become a thing for you?
What do you mean?
I've heard that, like, you're known to, like, get drunk and then be at a party and just kind of, like, wander off and go explore or something. Or, like, you get lost going places. Like,
wait, who told you that?
I don't know.
Wait.
The little bird on my shoulder.
Wait,
does this or does this not happen?
I mean, I, like, get really fucked up and I like just hanging out by myself a lot.
Why?
I don't know. I'm weird. I like putting on my headphones and just walking around really drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, so you'll go to a party.
I even go to a party and put my headphones on at the party.
Really?
Yeah, I'm that.
You are a loner.
I don't know. Oh, like, I'm social though, but like not when I'm trying to listen to good music.
It's like what Cam says, you know, she would throw a pout how I'm showing out, how I'm outgoing, but don't be going out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I'm literal.
We're always just all kind of alone.
Yeah, like I like going out, but I don't like interacting while I'm out.
Right.
I don't know if that's
Do you hate small talk?
I hate small talk.
I
like don't care to talk. I don't care to like know about like how you doing? Like how's your day?
When like, people ask me how I'm doing, like if I was to answer honestly, they would be like, dude, you fucking suck. Get away from me. Like so I just go, oh, I'm good. How are you? Because I don't want to be like,
that's what everyone says
right
though.
Now.
So like that's like never good question.
No, but you know, sometimes people like they're not good at with social graces and they really do vent to you about like,
oh my God, I hate that.
Like, well then this happened and this happened and I'm like, I don't care about your fucking journey to the DMV. Like, shut up.
So. Oh my God, no. Like, I mean, I'm always great, though.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm always posy.
I'm always middling.
I'm always just I.
You are what you think you are, so.
Damn, that's deep.
I know.
So anyhow, you start taking music seriously.
Yeah.
And you put out an EP last year?
Well, I put out Global School of Twerk like 2 years ago, and that which was an EP. And then I put out Money Dance last summer.
Yeah.
And then I put
Money
out...
Money Dance did well.
Yeah. And then I put out something called Finally Verified, EP called Finally Verified,
which
like,
is hilarious. It's like
ago.
Fucking hilarious title. I
well,
love that.
Okay, everyone thinks I'm like mad cheesy, like by saying like, "Oh, I'm finally verified on Twitter," but it's not really like supposed to be.
I thought it was funny because I thought you were making fun of Big Sean.
I'm literally making fun of Big Sean.
Yeah, see, I got like, it. I was in on the joke.
You get it. Like, I literally, everyone's like, "Oh, you're mad, like cheesy, like you." You gave your album a name of like being finally verified on Twitter. You're so lame.
But that's like super internet because like.
But like I'm yeah like
because like rappers are concerned with being famous, but people that are internet are concerned with that blue check mark.
But like I don't even I honestly like
ironic.
Don't care that much about yeah I'm very ironic like
yeah, yeah.
And also I'm in love with Chief Keef, so if you're listening, I love you.
So that's your first love.
Yeah,
Chief.
True.
You think he would rob you?
I think I would rob him.
Oh.
I think I would rob Youngberg.
You wouldn't be the first nor the last, apparently.
Wait, no. Well, like, so Chief Keef called his thing Finally Rich.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was like.
So it was like Finally Famous,
so like,
Finally
I'm
Rich, Finally
the,
Verified.
Yeah, I'm like in the same category as Big Sean and Chief Keef now.
I agree. You are in the same category.
Yeah. Yeah, just as poppin'.
That's tight. So, yeah, what happened after you started putting out your serious music?
I mean, it's still not like...
But now you're out here grinding now.
Yeah, hustling.
Yeah, you're hustling.
You know, getting that paper.
Yeah, for sure. Are you having to do the whole like manager and publicist?
I have a publicist.
Yeah. Do you have a manager or you manage yourself?
I kind of have a manager. It's not like real yet.
I feel like that was like I kind of have a boyfriend, but not really. Like maybe they're gonna be mad at you now. Like I thought we were actually dating. I thought I was really your manager.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Yeah,
those.
Don't listen to this manager.
No, but yeah, it's like kind of. I mean, I haven't signed any like paperwork or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah.
I had a booking agent. It was the same booking agent as Riff.
Right.
But I'm looking for a new one. Also.
Well, you heard it here first. But agents, if you're listening, holler at Chippy.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you like kind of about the weird internet culture that you're a part of.
Yeah.
Because it's very interesting. It's like as old as this makes me sound. It's very cutting edge. No, but like I feel like the scene that you guys are creating
young
or are
Cloud
a part
Gang.
Of. Yeah, Young Cloud Gang. You and Brittany and you know, who else is involved in Young Cloud Gang?
Jasper, Lena, Damien, Bradley. Am I forgetting someone?
I don't
Franco.
Know. Like something that I would imagine kind of started off as like a tongue in cheek joke with you guys has actually become it's pretty influential.
No, it's like kind of insane because like as weird as it sounds, like I see people that like don't even know about us speaking like us on the internet. And like, I don't want to be like, no, I am going to say it. Like, we literally created that way of speaking.
Yeah.
Like, saying same to things that aren't same. Like, I hear everyone do that.
Right, right.
And, like,
if you,
all that
if you
shit.
Live in LA right now, everyone, if you say something, I'm hungry, somebody will respond with same, and that's it. And literally, the first person that I ever heard do it was Brittany Scott, who was, like, one of your friends. She's just sitting in the other room right now.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brittany.
Not even, like, I'm hungry, same. It's like, oh, I went... diving with crocodiles,
yeah,
and
same.
Even if you didn't, it's like same.
Right, right, like, exactly. Or like,
I don't know if that's like the weirdest like comparison.
The one of the things I picked up on you guys' Twitter was you used to always say the fact that
the fact, or like the literal fact that,
yeah,
or like even sus.
I
literally die.
Yeah, you know, so that kind of thing. Like, it's funny when you talk about Miley Cyrus, and what she's doing right now. It seems like, yeah, as if maybe you guys' little subculture has actually influenced.
Well, Miley's
that.
Very Tumblr.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not as Tumblr as her.
Yeah,
we're more Twitter.
I feel like you have to really be deep into the internet to understand the subtle differences between Tumblr and Twitter.
Oh yeah, Tumblr is.
Were
like,
you ever Tumblr?
I have a Tumblr, but I wasn't Tumblr ever.
Okay.
Like. Kitty is kind of is really Tumblr.
Well, Kitty, when we had her on the podcast, said she's not Tumblr,
but she like posts like really personal shit on Tumblr,
yeah.
And she gets a lot of notes. Like, I don't get notes on my Tumblr.
Speaking of Kitty, when I had her on the podcast, you were in the other room chilling, and she mentioned this like Facebook group that she was a part of. Were you a part of that as well?
Yeah,
you were a part of that as well. Did you feel like something was bubbling when you were a part of that Facebook group? Like, did you know that people were gonna like?
When we got on it, like ASAP Rocky was in it. Like he actually was like active on it.
Yeah. And, well, yeah, you said like he used to post on your wall or something on Facebook. Yeah.
Literally. And I like video chatted with him before and like weird. But this is like.
Hopefully you were of age.
Yeah, no, I was. Good. It was like, I wasn't sus. Actually, probably showed my boobs. Yeah, like it was like when him and Space Ghost Perp were like fucking with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like. A while ago.
Right.
But yeah, like everyone on it is like a thing. Like Ryan Hemsworth is on it. A bunch of like dope producers and a lot of people that are just like influential and like know what's popping before it's popping. And they just like listen to good shit.
Right.
It's just like kind of like a forum where people post music that I like.
Right.
That each other like.
A friend and I were talking about that Facebook group and like Yams was in it and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yams.
Like
was in
he
it.
Seems like a very knowledgeable head.
Oh yeah.
Like
there's a lot of ASAP people in it.
Yeah. I mean, were those guys
ASAP Blue?
Were they putting you onto shit that you should be listening to? Like,
honestly, like I was already like I'm like huge at lurking on the internet, so I was already like finding these things by myself. But it was just like sometimes you would see stuff, but it was. Like, mostly what they post is, like, really, really, like, ratchet rap anthems, like, like songs that you are kind of, like, hard to find, like kind of Chief Keef wannabe, like, type.
Right, right.
You know, but not mainstream.
Right.
They post, like, things like that.
Okay.
A lot of the time. And then they post, like, their own music, because everyone in there pretty much makes music or is a producer. There's a lot of people in there. There's Shadow Riders. Like, there's so many people in that group.
Right.
There's a lot of people that don't make music, too, and, like, writers and journalists, like, people that write for, like, The Fader and stuff like that. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
With the Young Cloud Gang, like, you meet all these people on the internet. When you meet them in real life, has it ever been awkward?
Well, Young Cloud Gang, I knew personally.
You knew them all already. Yeah. That was an internet idea that was drafted in real
Brittany
life.
Brittany was actually someone that I didn't meet in real life before.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else I knew in real life before we were a gang.
Before we were a gang.
Pre-gang.
Pre-gang. How do you get jumped into the Young Cloud gang?
You can't.
You can't?
Yeah, like Brittany was the last person jumped because she's like the best.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an open group.
Yeah. What's next for Chippy Nonstop?
Well, I like kind of let things happen organically. I'm not like... I don't like to, like, force it, mm-hmm. and I feel like that's how everything works best. But, I mean, I have, like, a rough idea of where I want to go, but I don't want to, like, you know, predetermine, like, a destination and then say, like, that's the only thing as far as I want to go, you know?
Right, right.
So I just, like, kind of, like, leave.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have, like, a layout of, like, where I want to go, but I don't know, like, I'm kind of at a weird stage right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think music will always be a part of it?
Yeah.
It will be.
Yeah, definitely. Like, even if I'm not, making music to put out, like, myself, like, I feel like I'll always be involved in, like, maybe, like, A&R or, like executive producing, like, picking beats. Like, I really like picking beats.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of what you guys do is, like, curation.
I feel like I can curate in, like, any... like angle of any art scene.
You know, the fact that you were on the internet gaining this following when you admittedly said like I was literally doing nothing, I was just being on the internet, like I kind of feel like that's like the absolute definition of an influencer. It's like you were able to define whatever this weird thing is that's called cool, or that is cool, and let people know that it's cool, and people are like,
and
about
it was,
that
yeah, it was literally, it's weird because like I had this like grasp on people where like I could literally tweet like put $100 with my PayPal and like within an hour I would have a bunch of money in my bank.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get like that.
It wasn't even like I was like begging for it. I posted it one time.
Yeah.
And like random people. And I didn't have like that big of a following or doing anything at that time.
Right.
And I would get tons. Like I can't do it now because people know that I like make money.
Yeah.
So it's like awkward. But like, yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, when I wasn't doing anything, I would just post about wanting money.
That's tight. Sometimes you just gotta want money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like this is there's like this weird thing about being able to know what's cool, and I always am trying to put my finger on it.
A
lot of what this podcast I think is secretly about is like I try to have people in that I think are fucking cool and that understand what cool is.
Yeah.
And I just want to define it. Like I don't understand. Like
I feel like there's what, like this, there's, what's cool is. Not trying,
you know. Cool. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Absolutely.
Like,
but
I don't like intentionally do what's cool because, like, I think there's maybe like, by definition of what's cool, like I don't do because, like, I'm so like I fuck up. I like say all like you know I fuck up a lot and I say whatever on the right. internet. That's probably not cool.
But that's the thing
I
is
just
like
do whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Doing whatever is what's cool.
Doing whatever is what's cool. Well, I'm glad that you're doing whatever, and that's how yeah. I wrap. That's how I always look for like a cool place to wrap up.
Yeah,
so like, oh, I'm glad that you're doing whatever. No, but
been had doing whatever.
Yeah, you've been had doing whatever. But yeah. So you got a show coming up on the 19th.
Yeah.
This is gonna come out before that. So you can tell the people where the show is at.
Well, you know, it's a ham on everything.
It's a ham on everything party. So you have to
go
to hamoneverything.tv and you can find out, get on the RSVP list.
Yeah.
I'll probably be bartending the party that you play. So
there's, and like, feel free to bring your children because it's all ages.
It's all ages. So bring your kids. Chippy will autograph their butts or their diapers.
Let me sign your boobs.
There you go. I'm going to have her sign my boobs. But before that, tell the people where they can find you online.
Chippy Nonstop.
Just
Chippy underscore Nonstop.
You had an underscore?
That's, yeah.
That doesn't seem that internet.
I had Chippy Nonstop and it got hacked.
Ooh.
And then a bunch of cool people started following me. And I got the other one back.
Mm-hmm.
But then a bunch of cool people started following me on Chippy underscore Nonstop. Mm. Then I felt like I was way more exclusive.
Yeah.
So, like, because my first few followers are, like, really cool people.
Tight. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kept it.
Do you ever get mad at people in real life when they unfollow you?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm that person that will call you out, like, and, like, give you, or, like, a cold shoulder because you've unfollowed me.
So there, you heard it here first. If you're going to fucking follow her, don't unfollow her. anyhow, so find her at Chippy underscore Nonstop. You got a SoundCloud.
Chippy Nonstop.
Chippy Nonstop.
I mean, just Google.
Fucking Google me. Yeah. Everybody that's actually cool just says Google me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a
literal Google.
There you go. Just Google her. My name is Lee. You guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, based with two S's. We're both the same on Instagram, slanging them filters.
Oh yeah, follow me on Instagram.
Follow her on Instagram.
Chippy
what is it?
X Nonstop.
Chippy X Nonstop.
Someone is else is Chippy Nonstop, and can you delete your profile?
Yeah,
so.
If you're fucking Chippy underscore Nonstop on Instagram, fuck you.
No, it's just they have just Chippy Nonstop.
That's fucked up. They're trying to milk you for some money.
I'm so mad.
Fuck them. But
they've only posted 4 pictures.
Sus.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at That's Kinda Neat, and you can find us on kindaneat.net or on the YouTube channel where we're gonna have the lovely Chippy performing a song. What is the song gonna be called?
I think I'm gonna do a song called Ether.
So there you go. She's gonna do the Nas classic Ether. No, I'm just kidding. She's gonna be doing a song called Ether on youtube.com/thatskindaneat. You guys have already turned off the podcast at this point, and that is perfectly fine, but we will see you again next week. Thank you for tuning in. That was kinda neat. Sorry.